Amen. Amen. Well, let's get into the Word. The last couple of weeks, this is the fourth week now that we've been speaking on Exodus 6, verses 6 and 7, which is the four I wills, and we'll get into them in a few minutes, and also that we link them together with the four cups of the Passover. And the Passover Seder, which means the Passover was when God took the Israelites, the Hebrews, out of Egypt. Do you remember Moses went in and he said to Pharaoh, let me go. And by the way, I was just in the movies this week with Sharon and we went to see that Interstellar 3-hour movie about space. There's not a laser shot on it or an alien shot on it, but I want to tell you what a fantastic movie. And if you give me money, if I tell you what now to go and see, only messing. But while we were there, I hate missing the ads of new movies. And so while we were there, we seen four ads of four new movies, and one of them coming out is Moses. And I'm like, Sharon, Moses. And like, you know, I just had to say sorry to God about Moses when I was watching this. Because somehow when we're reading Moses, and I don't know whether you picked this up or you've heard preachers say it this way, but we sort of play Moses down a bit. You know, we had a stammer, he needed Aaron. Do you know what I mean? We probably think he's a bit of a weako, do you know what I mean? But this movie, when the first showing of it was Christian Bale, he's playing Moses, and he's more like a gladiator. I know, that's Moses. I'm sorry, Moses, I'm sorry, Lord, for ever looking at him in any other way. And in it, he goes into Pharaoh, and he's like, you let my people go. You know, like, we think he's going to go in trembling, ooh, let me people go, I can't speak properly. But in this, I think it shows a real picture of what Moses was really about. He was a real man, a man's man, a man of God, courageous man. Because who goes into Pharaoh? Who tells Pharaoh to let slaves go? Only a man that knows that God has spoken to him. He's a man, I was going to say, or a woman, but a man who goes in. And we've been looking at this for the last while. It comes out on the 26th of December, would you believe? And I'm going to see it then anyway. And so we've been speaking about Moses, and Moses has met God, and I don't want to go into the whole lot, get onto the podcast, get the podcast of the acrobats, and those who heard the acrobat story last week, or if you haven't heard it, come to Clondalkin at 6 o'clock tonight, and you'll hear the second part of the acrobat story, and see what God will do in that. And I've preached this story about the acrobat at least 10 times now. I guarantee you, again, I'm finished, I'll preach it more times than the original guy that actually wrote the thing. And someone said to me last night in Finglas that's the fourth time I've heard this now, and every time I get something different out of it. Isn't that amazing? You think, oh, they're going to get bored with it. I said, no, we get something different. And I've preached it 10 times, I've read it, I've wrote it down, I've listened to it, and every time I look at it, I get something different out of it for my own walk with God personally. So Moses gets sent in, God realigns with who he is, because you don't know your identity, you'll never fill your destiny. That's in the last podcast. And God then, he sends Moses in, and Moses goes into the Israelites, and this is what he says to those who are in slavery. He's speaking on behalf of God. This is what God spoke to him. So he now goes in Exodus 6 and 7, and he says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And the four I wills is, I will save you, I will deliver you, I will redeem you, and I will bring you fulfillment, which is a cup of fulfillment. And Jesus does, we're linking those four I wills with the Passover Seder, which was all about the Jews still celebrate, Jewish people still celebrate the Passover to this day. And in the Passover is the very thing that Jesus was celebrating, what we call the Last Supper. And in the Passover, it was when the last plague came, when the angel of death came over, and those who put blood on the lentils of their door, the angel of death didn't come in there. But Egypt was destroyed as a result of that. And that deliverance, that coming out of Egypt is called the Passover, and they celebrate it to this day. And when Jesus was celebrating the Passover, it wasn't like when he was given the cup and the bread that we celebrate as communion or the Lord's table. When he was doing that, it was very significant. He wasn't just doing it as this is an opportunity. It was just any old day. It was a specific opportunity to bring the people back to what God's intention was in Egypt, was to save people, was to deliver people, was to redeem people, and was to make people his people and bring fulfillment into their lives as a result of this. And now Jesus is re-emphasizing it. And we celebrate communion with one cup, but in the Passover seal, which Jesus celebrated, there was four cups. And these cups were called, the first one was called the cup of sanctification. The second cup that they drank was the cup of deliverance, the cup of redemption, and the cup of praise. That was the four cups. And we celebrate with one cup, but Jesus didn't do that. They'd have two cups, then they'd have a meal, then they would take some bitter herbs, and they would do etc., and then they would have the last two cups. And Jesus says, like, emphasizing the four I wills of God. And over the last couple of weeks, that's where we've been. Looking at the I wills of God. And the first thing God says, I will bring you out. He says to them, I will bring you out. God's first and most important thing that he wants to do for people is to save them, is to rescue the people from a life of oppression, because that's what sin does. It oppresses people. It brings people under. It brings people under its mastery to bondage. And God's first goal is to get people out of bondage of sin. It's like, I'm going to get you out of Egypt. I'm going to go in. And in many of us, like, and Egypt is symbolic of the world, the world system, and the world's practices. And God came in and found us. I didn't find God. I wasn't even looking for him. He came and found me. And I was in a little hole of sin in Dolphin's Barn, and he came. And that was my Egypt. And I don't know what your Egypt was. But he comes to rescue us. He comes to get us out of that place. And in the I will, the first I will rescue, I'll save you. That's God's promise to you and every person, that he wants everyone saved. It's not God's heart that anyone goes to hell. It's not God's heart that anyone's separated from God. That he's committed. Absolutely, 100%. I'll tell you how committed he is. He came and died on a cross for us. It's not just talk with God and Jesus solidifies the promises that God made in the Old Testament. And Jesus takes the first cup. And imagine, he's drinking this cup knowing that he was going to go to the cross. He's drinking this cup of salvation while he was celebrating the Passover with the rest of them. He's drinking this knowing the next day he was going to die so that people could live. He was going to take on the sins of the world so that people could go free and be forgiven. When he left heaven and went back, heaven was never going to be the same again. Because the Son of God, God, he's the fullness of God, the very essence of God. He is God. That he went back to heaven knowing what sin was. The Trinity was never going to be the same. Heaven was never going to be the same because God knew what it was to taste sin. And that's what Jesus done for us. And he was drinking this cup knowing that he was going to go out. But his commitment to us is salvation. I want people saved. His salvation is not being religious. Salvation is not joining a church. Salvation is not belonging to some denomination. Salvation is giving your life over to God. It's giving your life and surrendering control of your life to Jesus. When we say the word repentance, it's not a negative word. Repentance is, I'm changing direction. Now, I was going that way, but I give my life to Jesus, and I turn my direction of my life towards what he has for us. In fact, he gives your life back. Listen to what Paul says in Titus, and this is from the Message. He says, it wasn't long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior, stepped in, he saved us from all of that. It was all his doing. We'd nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and outside by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. And there's more life to come, an eternity of life. You can count on this. And some of us need to hear that today. God has come so that we may know him and restore things back to its original intention, which is to know God. And I love it. He's given us a bath. The old has been washed away. And the old is being washed away consistently. But when we become Christians, we stand before God absolutely shining, brand new. Remember Christmas Eve and you got your bats? You got your new pajamas on you? You were never more shinier than that day, aren't you not? All the other bats, they just didn't seem to matter. You look in the mirror at yourself, and your cheeks are rosy, and everything is like, my goodness, this Christmas thing does something magical. But it's better than that. It's not just an outside washing, but it's an inside washing. All the gunk, all the sin, all the destruction, all the shame, all the guilt. That's washed away. That God doesn't see that. And the next cup, the cup of deliverance, is the journey of God taking that out of us consistently. We're right before Him, and we're constantly being right, made right before God. And some of us need to hear that today. Some of us need to hear that if you've given your life to Jesus, you're right before God. No shame, no guilt. If we sin, we confess it. We get cleansed from the stuff of that sin, the unrighteous feelings of that sin. That's not to do anything with the salvation of the cross. That's just to make our relationship is totally intact all of the time. And he says, and this is what we're about. The first cup, this is what we will follow. This is what we have followed, but this is putting it into line. That the whole vision of liberty is to plant churches around the city to win a city. For what purpose? To see people saved. And it's our role to deliver that message and to live out that message to the city and to the people. Why do we exist? To see people saved, just like God does. And then he says, I will set you free or I will deliver you. If salvation and being saved is getting you out of Egypt or us out of Egypt, well, deliverance is getting Egypt out of us. The people of God, if you look in their world in Exodus, that there was times when they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. God was doing a work in their life. God was transforming them. God was saying, look at that's Egypt thinking. That was, you know, when anything came tough, came up against them tough, you know what they wanted to do? Moses, we want to go back. We want to go back. Go back to what? Oppression. Depression. Slavery. No sound, no voice, no vision, no purpose, no hope, no future. But it's amazing that they wanted to go back there. And we think that somehow that's different for us. When you get saved, your spirit man is made perfect, but your natural man needs some work. And when God is doing the work in the natural man, somehow there's something in us that is bent towards going back to Egypt. We try to find comfort in the old mindset. That mindset brought us oppression. We try to find comfort in our old sins. That old sin that brought us away from God even further. And the biggest thing that I believe as a pastor that I've learned over the years, that people, there's a Christian word, and it makes a bit of sense in this context. There's a Christian word called backsliding. Anyone know that word? Do you know what it means? Backsliding into Egypt. Like just doing a moonwalk. Everyone think you're going forward, but you're not. Was that moonwalk? Oh, good. Yeah, they were doing a... That's funny. Okay. No, but it's going back. It's wanting to go back. It's like not trusting God to go forward, but trusting in the old ways. And here's what I believe why most people backslide. God starts to deliver you from Egypt. He's starting to get Egypt out of us. He's starting to press on the buttons of pain and hurt and shame and guilt. And we'd rather go back than go forward with God. And what we're really saying is, God, I don't trust you with this bit of pain. That's what we're really saying. And he's patient. Don't get me wrong. He has unlimited patience. Because you know what he done with the Egyptians or the Israelites? 40 years going around the desert. Well, it took 8 days. It took them 40 years. And every time he got them to a place of trusting him, they'd give out. Or they'd moan or groan or, Moses, you brought us out here to die. And God says, we have to go back around. Whole generation passed away. So that God got this Egyptian thinking out of him, because this doesn't affect just you and me. This affects our children and our children and their children. We live with the Egyptian mindset. We live with mentality. And God says, okay, I'm going to have to bring it around and around. And gives us millions of opportunities to go around the bush. He's so good. He's not a God of second chances. He's a God of millions of chances. But there's years gone by. The purpose that we're supposed to be living out is disappearing because if it's taking years. Because here's what I want to say to us. Don't run away. Don't run away. If God is dealing, you know, we go, like, Sharon always pushes my buttons. Just saying, Sharon, you don't really. But you know yourself, you go, oh, Sharon, one always pushes. No, it might be Sharon. God will use a human finger to push a button on you. And then you go, I leave that relationship and get another relationship. It turns out that other relationship pushes the button as well. Or that other job, or that other boss. You go, my goodness, everyone is like, everyone's against me. No, it's God saying, I want pain. I want that attitude. I want that teeth. I want that exposed to my healing power. And Christians run, and inevitably they run back into old Egyptian thinking. I've been around 25 years. I think I know something by now. And it's usually when God is dealing with stuff. If God is dealing with stuff in you, it is painful. Remember the acrobat? His mother, he had a twisted foot. And the mother would take that foot and she would manipulate the bones. It was powerful. It was painful. It was intense. But what was the purpose of getting this twist out of his foot? So he could fulfill his destiny. And that's what God does with us, that if he doesn't get Egypt out of us, and it will hurt. It's hard to trust him with pain and issues of the heart. I remember someone saying, no, it was hard to give up smoking cigarettes. It was easy peasy compared to giving up something that was in my heart. Like, I thought they were the hard things on the outside. I was like, look, I need to get that twist out, you know. That twist in your thinking that causes you to look at yourself a certain way, or look at the world a certain way, or look at me a certain way. I can't bring it into your future while you're limping like that. Because what you'll do is you'll start dominating people. You won't be able to love them because you're looking for love. And I'm trying to take this out of you so that I can get my love into you, so that you can be a love channel. Not someone who does something just to gain people's love. And that's the whole goal of God with getting Egypt out of us. Deliverance is different from salvation. Salvation is taken care of, and that's eternity. But deliverance determines our quality of life as believers. Salvation is instant. Deliverance is a process. We need to hear this from God. If he's doing the work, honestly, if we learn that, and I'm not saying I'm there yet, by the way, but the best thing to do is just like what Psalm 23 says, the Lord's my shepherd. He lays me down. Just lie down. Say, Lord, there you are. Just take it, Lord. How? What's my step in getting this bit of deliverance? What needs to change, Lord? Which way do I need to think? What is it? Ask him. He has the answer. He has the remedy. That's what Natasha was saying to us, that he's in the storm. He's in it. Look for him. Our song should be, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Where are you in this, Jesus? When you were in the storm, Jesus was asleep in the boat. They were panicking everywhere. There's no panic in Jesus. Storms will come, and then when they went to him, Jesus, do you not care? Well, listen, mommy and daddy mightn't care, or brother or sister mightn't care. Jesus cares. If anyone cares, he cares. Jesus, what will we do with this storm? Then he sorts out the storm. So whatever God is doing, allow him to do it. He's getting you prepared for your destiny. He's getting you prepared for your future. He's getting you prepared to be able to be part of the dream team that he has to win this world. And then he says, I will redeem you. And you see, all these words seem like they're the same, don't they? Salvation, deliverance, redemption. Like, they look like the same type of words, but they all have different meanings. To redeem means to redeem something, means to put something back to its original intent. Once we experience salvation and deliverance, God's promise is restoration, to bring us right back to our original purpose, which is to know God like Adam and Eve in the garden, to experience what they had in the garden before the fall. Original intention is to buy something that may be broken like a toy, and that you have a great art of putting something together and looking, making it looking brand spanking new again with the purpose which originally was made. Redemption is this, that God is putting us together. God is setting the tone for our lives. He is bringing us into our destiny. And this is what makes Christianity exciting. But this is what's really poor about Christianity, that most of us get stuck in cup one and two. And we never get into cup number three, because number two was keeping us from number three. We're stuck in our old life. We're stuck living for God and the enemy coming in, or we just sabotage it ourselves. We go round and round. Like, why am I not fulfilling the purpose of God? I thought this was a life of fulfillment. I thought this was a life of joy. And we go around the desert again and again. I don't know about you, but I'm only really fully alive is when I'm in the center of God's will. I feel sometimes every fiber, every nerve that's on my body alive when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in God's. That's when it's like the little boy in the acrobat when he got up on the refrigerator. Do you remember I told the story and he was up there and he could see out and he was most alive when he was on top of the refrigerator because he was destined to defy gravity, not to be under gravity. Find your refrigerator and stand on it. Find that place where you come most alive and serve there and sow there and give your life to there. Don't let anyone drag you here and drag you there that robs our energy from climbing up to the refrigerators. But just get on that. If that's serving the homeless, I guarantee you'll never be more alive than you are. If it's washing feet, you will never be more alive washing feet if that's God's will for your life. Ephesians says this, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're supposed to be living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose, he is working out in everything and everyone. And some of us need to hear this. That God has his eyes on you. He has designs on you. What a great word. For glorious living. So that we can live out of what God called us to do. And I don't know about you guys, but when I read this stuff and I hear this stuff, believe me, this is all double-edged sword. I have to ask myself, am I allowing God to deliver me out of Egypt? Or am I allowing him to get Egypt out of me? And I have to just, that's an honest question I have to ask myself. Or am I putting up with half Egyptian and half Christian? Half living in slavery and half living in freedom? Or even worse, not even going for freedom. I just have to ask myself, not to bring condemnation or guilt on myself, because I couldn't get myself out of anything. That's what he said in that other scripture. But it's all about God. But it's up to me to say, God, I need you. It's up to me to say, God, I recognize, Lord, I still think the old way. I still behave the old way. I'm living like I'm in Egypt. But I don't want to live there. I'm telling you, if you're born again, I know one thing. You're not happy living there. We're miserable living there. That's a great sign that God is at work in us. Because if we didn't give a rip, we're just somehow, we're just here for whatever sake. But it's getting honest with God and saying, I need you. I recognize that in me. I recognize that old behavior. And Jesus, I only need you because you're the only one. Believe me, we can be given skills by people. And we can be given advice by people. Good people, trained people. But only Jesus can heal your heart. I'm telling you, only Jesus can heal your heart. Only Jesus. There's no person in this world. Do you know why? They didn't make you. They didn't weave you together in your mother's womb. They weren't there in the night. They didn't hear your tears. He did. And we can run around the world and we can go to the best pastors, best ministries in the world. It's only Jesus that can heal that. Humpty Dumpty did sit on a wall. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put them together again. You know why? They didn't make it. And that's about the fall of mankind, by the way. Adam did fall. And Jesus came. All the kings tried to put them together. All the men even tried to build a tower to God's, remember? Couldn't put it together again. But the king came, Jesus. His invitation is, I'll take you out of Egypt. I will take Egypt out of you. I will set you back to your original purpose. That's his goal. That's his goal. And then the last one is, I'll make you my own people. The final promise in this is that he will make us the people that he wants us to be, to accomplish the mission that he wants us. That in fact, we become God's dream team. we become his dream team of, you know what he done when he took the Israelites out of Egypt, the Hebrews out of Egypt? He brought them through, he gave them a dream, he put them together as a people, and then he says, I have a promised land for you. I have a land, and he put them together as a team. And this ragamuffin slaves, a couple of generations later, was going into a promised land, taking on the best armies in the world of its time. And not only taking on the fortified cities, but overcome the fortified cities. And not only that, that when God used them as his dream team to take the promised land, that what happened to the next army that was against them? Fear struck the armies because they says, God is with them. How can we overcome them when God is with them? And I want to tell you this, that this morning, that God is once that he will use you and I to terrify the enemies of God and the people. He will use that people to go, I'm not coming against that person because God is on their side. And some people think they're getting away with stuff. They're not. They're not. I'm not saying God's going to go out murdering people, but I'm telling you, they're not. The people of this world and the systems of this world are things they don't know about eternity. They're forgetting that God's, that they give an account before God's. They're forgetting that there's a sowing and reaping process that goes on. They're forgetting all that stuff. Look at any empire and you'll see the sowing and the reaping wasn't good for the generations to come after them. But God wants us to be fulfilled. And we're fully fulfilled when we're serving God. And the last cup is a cup of fulfillment. And we're no more fulfilled when we're serving God. We're reaching a city. Where are you going to serve on the dream team of God? Where are you serving on the dream team? God's heart and passion is to win the world. It's to see people delivered. It's to see people redeemed. And then the process kicks off and they become part of the dream team. And then the dream team sees people saved, sees people delivered, sees people redeemed, sees people fulfilled. And then it kicks off again. And that's how churches grow. And that's how people grow. And that's how churches take cities. It's that the constant of the four things. And I just want to say in finishing that that is our goal as Liberty. You want to know our vision, seeing people saved. We're setting up ministries. I've said it out loud in prior months that we have been working on a thing called Pathways, which is designed for these four things to happen in our church. It's been a long time coming, and there's a lot of work going into it. But people that we will have a process of seeing people saved and seeing people delivered, because God does use us to get Egypt out, but only he can do the work. I'm sick of the Egyptian of you. You give him an inch, he becomes a ruler. I'm alive when I'm in my full purpose and set back to its original intent. And as Jesus drank the four cups, when he came to the three cups, and the cup of praise is the end one, after three glasses of wine, maybe everyone's up for a bit of praise. It all happened, and it was all good wine, I'd imagine. But someone told me this, I have to research, but it sounds good. That Jesus said, remember he says, I will not drink this cup again till I return in the kingdom. They reckon that Jesus never drank the fourth cup. That's a funny one. But we'll all get to drink it with him in the fulfillment of time. We'll all drink the cup of praise together at the Lamb's feast. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus says, look, I'm keeping this one till we're all together. Till everyone that becomes a Christian, till everyone is at my wedding feast, till you, the bride, and I'm the bridegroom is there, and we'll pick the glass up together, and we'll sing praises to God. That Jesus reserved, and I think that's wonderful, because wouldn't you like to be at the Last Supper? Wouldn't you like to be when Jesus was doing all that? We'll get to do all that with him at that great feast. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. I want you to remember these four cups. I want you to remember these four I wills. This is what we're building our future around. Four things. People saved. People delivered from Egypt. People given an opportunity to be reset, realigned with the purpose of God for each life. And living out of that place of fulfilling the dream of God. And maybe we all fall into different brackets of these today. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you need salvation. Maybe you need to give your life over to Jesus. And if you haven't done that, I'd like to give you an opportunity today. What is it? You're saying, Jesus, I give you control of my life. It's no big ceremony. I want your kingdom. I want your plans. I want your purpose for my life. I want to come out of Egypt. And just very quickly, while every head is bowed, and if you need prayer for that, say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just put your hand up and put it back down. I'm giving my life to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm giving control over to Jesus. He has the best intention for me. I'm trusting him with my future. And this is what they do in your heart, that those who put their hands up. Maybe you haven't. It's not about even hands. It's just about being honest with God. Jesus, I give my life to you. You took my place on a cross so that I could live, and I accept that. And I accept the forgiveness and the grace that comes with that. I want to come out of Egypt. I want to come out of that old living. I want to come out of that old life. And I'm walking out with you today. Maybe there's others, and God is in the process of just getting Egypt out of us. And you may have struggled with that, and if you are, you're human. But if God is just doing that work just in your life over these last weeks and months, would you just quickly stand up? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for strength. So yeah, God's been doing the work. He's been pressing my buttons. It's becoming intense now. I'll tell you why it becomes intense. I would have been disappointed if this didn't all happen just there. Because God is working on us all. But if it's intense right now, if it's in, like, it's like, I can't take anymore. If God asked me to jump up and down for 100 hours, I would, just to get rid of this. If you're at that point, God is just ready just to finish off the job. Why did it take 400 years for the people to come out of Egypt? They weren't ready. They were happy in Egypt. They were, what's that? They were happy in their misery. Which is a mad contradiction, but it's true. And it was only when they got to the point of, we can't take anymore, then they left with Moses. It was the intensity of the moment that caused them to move out of Egypt. And if God has just been working on you intensely, just open your heart and say, Lord, will you just finish it off today? Whatever it is, you know what it is. If you don't know what it is, don't even pray it. You know what it is. God doesn't leave you in the dark when he's working on you. So if you don't know yet and you just feel it's intense, ask God what it is. But if you know what it is, it's like, Lord, I give it over to you. I'm walking out here without that. Work that you're doing, Lord, I just release the grace of God, because there is sufficient for you to walk through this. It is sufficient for you. Just receive his grace, receive his peace, receive his comfort. Just receive that ability. You know what amazes me? That they reckon that 1.5 million people walked out of Egypt with Moses. 1.5 million. Trust them. They had something from God. Will you trust God with? Probably the deepest thing of your heart right now, and it's painful getting the twist out of it. Will you trust him? I'm not asking you to trust man. I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to, will you trust Jesus with that? He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He's rich in mercy. He'll only deal with you with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He will only deal with you with the fruits of the Spirit. He is trustworthy. Just tell him, I'll give it to you. Just speak to him right now. It's your life, your heart. I don't want to be stuck in cup two, Lord. I don't want to stay there with this situation. I want to move into redemption. I want to move into being set off in my purpose. Being set off in the work that I'm called to do, that I've been designed to do. I've been crawling through life, and I'm meant to be flying through the air like an acrobat. And today I leave that place, Lord, to fulfill what you have for me. And Lord, the dream team that you have, Lord God, and the place that you have me in the team, just get involved. Serving the house, serving one of the ministries. Just get involved. Get involved. Help fulfill the vision of the house. Help fulfill the vision of liberty in the city. They're all called to this, every single person. Where can I serve? Ask us. Where can I serve? And Lord, I bless you, Lord God, for your people. I bless you. If the worship team could come back, and we've 10 minutes. Let's enter into that last cup right now, praise. Let's praise God for what he's doing. Praise him for your salvation. Praise him that we've left Egypt. That we've been taken out of that place. We've been separated from Egypt. And just like Moses, that's the beauty of God. Just like Moses, he was separated from Egypt. He was prepared in a desert place. And God sent him back into Egypt to tell the other slaves where to find freedom. To tell the other hungry people where the bread is found. That's our role. To tell those who are orphaned and homeless that there's a Father and he has prepared a house for each one of us. It's not to find a house and sit in the house and kick back. It's to go and tell the orphans that there's a loving dad. It's going to tell prisoners there's freedom. It's going to tell them that he can get that pain out of you. He can get that shame out of you. He can get that guilt out of you. It's going to tell them that he has a plan and a purpose and a hope for you. Not just you and your children, their children's children's children. It's to invite them. It's to come from the dream team, with the dream team, to invite others onto the dream team. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Just allow God just to manipulate that twisted foot right now, because he's doing it in people. Just allow him just to get that last kink out of it, that last painful sharpness. Praise him in the midst of it. Praise him in the midst of it. He's worthy. I don't mean this in any arrogant way, because that would be shooting myself in the foot. But I felt the Lord say this yesterday, and I was reminded of it in worship. That we're going to be a terror group, like a terrorist organization to the kingdom of darkness. That you're going to strike fear into dark places because you bring light. You're going to strike fear into hopeless places, hopeless strongholds, because you bring hope. You're going to bring destruction into strongholds of hatred because you bring love. Places of sadness and mourning and groaning. You're going to break down, strike fear into the Egyptian that holds people captive to grief and mourning, because you bring joy. And those who are in bondage and the jail keepers will rattle because you bring a message of freedom. Not arrogantly. Not standing up with his chest out and big proud head. But we move forward on our knees in full submission to the Master. That we strike when he tells us to strike. And we love you, Jesus. And we bless you, Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus. Just thank him for your salvation. That's enough to get me going. Just remember where you were before he found you. And that's enough for it to kick in itself. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not lost anymore. I'm found. I'm not blinded anymore. My eyes can see. I'm not in prison anymore. I've been set free. I'm not hopeless. I'm full of hope, full of vision, full of joy. I'm healed and my healing is happening. I'm freed and I'm being set free. We thank you for the finished work of Calvary, Lord. Just reach out to him. It's a lovely presence of God here. Just reach out to him. Jesus. For us,
the way of every curse
upon him,
the final way he came, as heaven goes
away,
the Son of God was made in darkness, a battle in the grave,
the war on death was waged. God forever broken,
the ground
began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love had not been overcome. So death, where is your sting, our resurrected King has taken. Defeated forever, he is glorified, forever he is lifted high, forever he is risen, he is alive, he is alive. The stone was rolled away.
His perfect love
would not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? The resurrected King
has rendered you
defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he
is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Hallelujah, Jesus. The Lamb has overcome.
We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome.
We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
We sing
God, the Lamb has overcome. Hallelujah, we sing hallelujah.
Amen, Jesus. I just thank you, Lord. It says in your word, because you've overcome, we will overcome. And Lord, whatever has faced us, whatever Goliath, whatever situation, wherever life is thrown at us, we just say that we will overcome because you overcame. And we go in your slipstream, Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for each person. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for the resilience you've placed in people, oh God. I thank you for that indestructible seed, Lord, that you've placed within us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that that seed is everlasting. It's unable to be destroyed. It's deathless, durable, everlasting, immortal, immutable. That seed is imperishable. It's incorruptible, indelible, indissoluble, inexterminatable. Inextinguishable. It's non-perishable. That seed is permanent, perpetual, unalterable, unbreakable, unchangeable, undestroyable, undying, and unfading. And that's why you will overcome, because that seed has been placed in you. And we thank you, Lord, and I send your people out, Father. I send, you know what we prayed this week for each member of Liberty? That God would give us his heart for those in the context of our sermon this morning, for those who are still in Egypt. And for those who've wandered back. And this week, we ask that God would burden our hearts. Meaning that God would put someone in our heart. And if you put someone on your heart, even a name right now, go after that person. Send them a text. Tell them they're loved. Tell them they're missed. If it's someone that's in prison in Egypt or lost, will you just even, let's give people this week an opportunity to say no even. Let's give them a choice. Let them know there's a way out. Just let them know that we found a way, and even if they laugh at us, at least we're telling them there's a way out. Even if they reject us, at least they know something. And I send you out to be the church. I send you out to be the church. I send you out to be the Moses to somebody. Not wimp, but powerful. Not weak, but strong. Not under the yoke of slavery anymore, but as a free man, as a free woman. So go in the name of Jesus. Have a great week. May you see God in everything. May you hear him in everything. May you experience him in all things in Jesus' great name. And all the people say, amen. Have a great week.